Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
We just had a conversation about the politics of climate change, and in many ways it has become pure politics at one level, and it's the one that we often hear the most about and we get most wrapped up in. You know, you've got Ottawa with the grand proclamations, and we were talking about that earlier, right? Electric vehicle, you can't have new gas-powered vehicles sold in Canada past 2035. That's the latest one. We've had clean energy mandates, you name it. The list goes on, right? And you need to go back in history and see how many of these goals and targets set by the federal government are actually achieved. Very, very few, if any, if you go back through history. Nonetheless, they make these ambitious statements. Conservatives push back and around we go. Think about it. We expect, indeed we demand, certain postures from our chosen parties because they've told us that this is what's best. And it's a circle, and it just goes around and around and around. Now, industry doesn't really have the luxury of playing politics. They do to an extent, okay? They do have to acknowledge the shifting realities, or maybe you want to call it the politics of the world, whatever. It doesn't matter, and that's why you see auto manufacturers committing to all-electric vehicles by certain dates and increasing their production of electric vehicles and all the rest of this stuff. They have to. They have to recognize where things are going, right? But their focus remains focused 100% on making money, whatever that may entail. That's why they pay attention to the politics of it. But I find it really informative to see what they're doing, more so than what the politicians are doing. Politics and reality don't always line up, right? Like I say, there's ambition involved, all kinds of things. In fact, these days, the reality very seldom lines up 100% with any of the politics that goes on around this. So when we talk about what's going on with the transition away from fossil fuels and, you know, where renewables fit into all that, I think it makes a lot of sense to see what is industry doing? What's actually happening? What does the data show us is really taking place, not what we're being told by politicians, but what's actually happening. The Fraser Institute released a report this week saying the industry marches on, despite all efforts to the contrary when it comes to this. So we're going to speak now with Almira Ali Akbari. Almira is Director of National Resource Studies for Fraser Institute. Almira, thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Let's go through your report here. It's really interesting. You examined a few different things in putting it together. First of all, fossil fuel demand in the face of the efforts to cut into that demand, to reduce that demand, to transition away from that demand. Call it what you want. So let's start by going over what's being done to advance that transition, because we know trillions, billions are being sunk into that, right?
Yeah, for sure. So at COP28, the recent United Nations Climate Change Conference, nearly 200 countries, including Canada, gathered to push for a transition away from fossil fuels and expedite efforts to reach a global net zero carbon footprint by 2050. However, despite significant efforts by governments over the past three decades and massive money being spent to promote clean energy, we see that the world's dependence on fossil fuels has remained largely unaffected, calling into question the feasibility of these recent commitments to reach net zero by 2050. So the journey towards decarbonization and energy transition began in 1995 at the UN's first climate change conference in Berlin. Since then, we have seen that governments worldwide have invested substantial amounts of money in energy transition. Consider that from 2015 to 2023, governments and industries worldwide spent $11.7 trillion on clean energy, which includes renewable power, electric vehicles, energy efficiency, etc. To provide some context to better understand the scale of this spending, this is the equivalent of all the goods and services produced in Germany, Japan, and the United Kingdom combined in 2023. Unfortunately, despite massive spending, we have seen seen limited progress in terms of reducing global reliance on fossil fuels.
Yeah, like when you break that down, right? I mean, if we're talking trillions of dollars, and like you say, it's almost $12 trillion in 8 years. That's a huge amount of money. Hasn't it nibbled into the demand for fossil fuels at all? Have we seen that?
No, actually, when we look at the data, we see that from 1995, which marks the beginning of climate summits, to 2022, the latest year for available data, global consumption of fossil fuels increased by nearly 60%. Specifically, oil consumption rose by 34%, natural gas by 87%, and coal by 73%. While there was a marginal decline in the share of total energy provided by fossil fuels during this period, dropping from 86% in 1995 to 82% in 2022, we see that the fundamental reliance on fossil fuels remains largely unchanged. And this outcome raises serious questions about the feasibility of governmental commitments to reach net zero targets within the next 26 years.
So we are seeing an increasing share of energy production going to renewables, but like you say, it's not big. It's not huge at this point. So what about costs? I mean, the other side of this equation, right? If we are seeing this movement, what about where we are for us as consumers? What has it meant for people who consume energy around the world?
The energy transition comes with costs. Beyond direct government spending, and that includes high energy prices and reduced power reliability. We've observed that some European countries, which have implemented aggressive climate policies to transition away from fossil fuels and heavily incorporate renewables into their electricity grids, are now experiencing high and soaring electricity prices. Similarly, some North American jurisdictions, such as California, which have heavily incorporated renewable power into their grids, have been dealing with power outages and blackouts. So these real-world challenges, again, make us wonder how realistic these recent commitments are to reach net zero within the next 26 years.
Like you say, we're looking at 26 years, 2024, and all of this talk is around 2050. And the provincial government of Alberta and most industry, the Pathways Alliance, they're all on board with 2050. I mean, nobody I've heard from Elmer is talking about demand for fossil fuels dropping now. I mean, peak demand is still, depending on who you talk to, any number of years away. So it's not surprising to me to say that demand continues to go up. That's the expectation, right?
When we look at the data, we see that demand for fossil fuels continue to go up. And as I explained, there was a marginal decline in the share of energy provided by fossil fuels. And what we have seen so far is that, trillions have been invested in the transition away from fossil fuels over the past three decades. But this investment has yielded limited results. And this data basically shows that the government's approaches to date have been ineffective and costly. So we are basically urging governments to reevaluate their policies, to come up with a more effective policy to address the issue of climate change.
Can we, like you say, we take a look at 2050 and what this says about that, but what about the path that we're on? We are seeing small increases. You acknowledge that. I mean, and certainly not enough to reach the goals that the government has set, but what could this tell us about 2030, 2035, 2045 even? I mean, what do we learn about where we need to be as we hit all these different markers along the way?
If you want to reach that target, we have to significantly reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. Remember, we are now over 80% of global energy is still coming from fossil fuels. And when we look at the data, we see that over the past three decades, we haven't been able to make meaningful changes in terms of reducing reliance on fossil fuels, despite trillions being spent spent. So this is a huge challenge for us, you know, to reach net zero over the next 26 years, because the evidence based on the past three decades shows that we haven't really, you know, seen any meaningful change. So we'll still have to wait and see what happens over the next 26 years. But we are really skeptical about the feasibility of reaching the net zero target within the next 26 years, based on the evidence that we have today.
Makes perfect sense. Elmira, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.